Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit VoicesOfWrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor and we are recording today on Mother's Day, and I am joined by the baddest mother I know. It's my friend Kelly.
Happy Mother's Day, all you mothers.
I mean, that's a pretty good intro for you.
That is good. I like that.
So you're welcome.
I felt like Black Dynamite.
So here we are, and we have a bunch of random stuff to talk about. I guess that's the best way to sum it up.
Yeah.
Nothing in depth, but we will be talking about all kinds of shows from all kinds of promotions, as well as big news coming out of multiple places. The biggest probably being, and I guess we can start with this, the jump, the official jump of Mayu Iwatani.
Yep, it happened.
But before we get into that, of course, we have to do the plugs. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tame Aimbow. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So Mayu Iwatani officially going from stardom to Marigold.
The Hat Man won.
Kelly, we briefly talked about it last time because we thought that that might be likely happening.
Okada fumbled.
I believe it was announced the day after we recorded. Is that right?
I think it was, yeah.
Or maybe the evening after we recorded?
I think it was like hours after we stopped.
That's usually the way these things work, is that hours after we record, some giant thing happens that makes us look foolish. Although we said it was likely she was going there, and there she is.
Like when we did the unlistenable audio when Rossi jumped.
That's
got
right.
Fired.
That's right. And we almost hopped on and did emergency audio.
Yeah. We did. Audio? It was never released.
Oh, that's true. We did do it and then we never sent it out.
Because it was bad.
I forgot about that. Weren't we trying to get Dave Meltzer on come talk to us or something?
I think we did.
Anyway. So that jump has happened, affecting Stardom, affecting Marigold. To me, feels sort of like a Marigold saving grace.
Yes.
Because I'm not sure what would be happening without her there.
Yeah, no, she's very needed, especially with Nane retiring in a few days.
So let's run through some of the stuff. Let's start with those two promotions, Stardom and Marigold. Stardom had a show just a few hours ago from our recording at Corican Hall. Some big news items to kick off the show. FWC, the team of Hazuki and Koguma, announced that they are leaving Stars to, I believe the phrase was, to travel the world or to go their own way. Stars really taken a hit in the last week and a half, losing multiple people, and now FWC, so we'll have to see what happens there.
Who's like the biggest person in Stars now? Is it like Hanan?
I believe the leader is now Hanan.
Okay.
The leader is Hanan, Sayaida, Momokogo, Yuzuki. I believe that might be it.
Jeez.
Am I forgetting someone?
I think that's it.
But that would make sense because they just lost three people. So you're like, oh, they have seven people and now four people. they have the, they have the tag champions. Also happening on the show, Sari did appear to challenge Shuri for the June 21st show that's coming up. But weirdly, a video from Alex Windsor interrupted the promo to say that, not really to make a challenge. I guess it was to make a challenge, but she was sort of like, hey, you should defend that title in the UK on June 6th against me. And now she is doing that. But they were still setting up the June 21st Seri challenge. So the Alex Windsor challenge feels pointless.
Yeah, because, right? I mean, I suppose it could be Alex Windsor against Sari. That's definitely a drawing match, right?
I guess if they look and they say, hey, we're selling too many tickets for the show, let's slow down the number of tickets we're selling.
Whoa. We're making too much money.
Although you never know, Kelly, because after that, Yuvia defeated May Sierra to win the high-speed title. CMLL's Yuvia. I don't know anything about her.
Nope.
The match was perfectly fine. Nothing really to report home about. I was not expecting May Sierra to lose the title. Not a great sign.
No.
It does feel very, I will say he is gone, feels very Rossi booking.
Yeah, kind of.
For like, here's a random woman no one has really ever seen. She wins the title. But really, I would say the highlight of the show, the biggest part of the show, Saya Kamatani successfully defending the World of Stardom title against Cinderella Tournament winner Sayaka Carrara. Kelly, what did you think? You watched this match, right? What did you think of it?
I thought it was really good. Tremendous showing for Carrara. I would say this is probably the biggest spot she's been in. I mean, I think you could definitely make an argument for the Cinderella finals, but this is an actual title match in Corican Hall. I think that supersedes it. The only problem I had with it is that I think the crowd wasn't fully on Carrara's side like ideally they would have been, but that's just because Saya is so over. And people just don't want to boo her anymore. So it's like, that kind of put them in not the greatest spot because it would have been awesome to just have the crowd fully supporting Carrara, but what can you do?
I also really liked it. I went 4 stars. I thought it was really good.
That's where
good.
I was too.
Very happy to see, we talked about this on this show probably, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years, but we probably talked about it multiple times. The idea that they used to have all these title matches that were like, hey, here's a big, here's Himika, here's Micah, here's Yuri, like doing these pointless title challenges where you're like, well, they're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is so much better. It's not something crazy. You're not giving away a huge match. And Sayaka doesn't really lose anything from losing.
No.
She probably gains something. So I'm happy to see them. I think putting some title matches back at Corican Hall has been very helpful.
Yes. And especially because they, in previous years, this would have main evented a big pay-per-view.
Yes, correct. This would have been in some huge place that seats 15,000 people where they sell 1,000 tickets.
Yeah.
And they're packing Corican Hall, doing very well there. So I'm happy to see, you know, some nice variety in the world of Stardom. It's not just sort of running people into the wood chipper mm-hmm. to lose. It's like, oh, this is a little story and great. And we know that Sayaka is going to win, but it's a little Corican Hall defense. It's not mainlining a show that they're asking you to pay $45 for.
Yeah.
So good for them. Good match. Worth watching. I would say probably the one thing, if you're going to watch one thing, well, definitely the one thing from the show, if you're going to watch high speed title match, I think is really nothing to write home about unless you want to see the title change actually happen. And what has been happening in Marigold? Well, Mayu Iwatani is there and has made her debut, appeared on the May 4th Corican Hall show, facing off against Nanai Takahashi. Kelly, did you see this?
Yes.
Okay. I have to say, I will say, and we can argue about, you know, Mayu leaving, the wiseness, the decision to go there, what have you. I will say, watching this match, it was very exciting. Like, even pre-match, it felt like a big deal.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, she's here in Marigold. Like, this doesn't really happen in Joshi.
No.
Like, what is the last thing where it was like, oh my God, this person is a big deal and they've moved somewhere else?
Ooh.
Like, Stardom's had some debuts, but they're often like, oh, this person was in some smaller promotion and now they're in Stardom. Like, it hasn't been like, whoa, this is a big, like, I can't even think of one off the top of my head.
No, the closest I can think of is Nana kind of jumping from Seedling to Stardom.
But even Seedling was like, okay, that's a small promotion.
Yeah.
And now she's in Stardom.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really well hyped. Mayu came out. It felt like a big deal. The match felt like a big deal. And then I thought they went out there and delivered. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, I went 4.5 stars, Kelly. I don't know where you ended up.
I was 4.25. I liked it a lot. I didn't like it as much as other people, but I think that's mostly because I'm not as high on Nana as a lot of other people.
I had some of the Mayu greatest hits in there.
Yeah.
The minute they went up those stairs, I went, Mayu's coming down those stairs.
Yep.
The bad way.
Yep.
Just thought it was great action. Feels big. I mean, it is one of those things where, you know, I think Mayu clearly was going to Marigold from the minute Rossi left. I'm not sure that there's anything on earth that Stardom could have done to keep her there. I don't, you know, offering her huge amounts of money, I'm not even sure would make a difference, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was the first time where I did think, ooh, you know, this does hurt Stardom. It is, you know, Stardom, I would say the last year, maybe the last longer than a year, I would say Mayu has not really been booked in, what am I trying to say here? She's so good, and she hasn't really been booked in positions where it's like, just go out there and be great and like have great matches.
Yeah, and it really just kind of feels like they did everything they can with her, you know, beyond just being like, I don't know, go have a good match. Like, there isn't anything else to really do with her anymore.
But it is one of those things where I think, you know, she had the Siri match right before she left.
Yep.
Which, even though, Kelly, you and I were on the lower end, got a lot of hype.
Yep.
She comes here and has another great match. And it's like, look, as much as she had run the course, as much as you had other things to focus on, which are all fair things, it's like, this is a great, incredible wrestler that you have lost.
Mm-hmm,
and sure. This Nanai match was the first time where I was like, ooh, you know, Stardom. I mean, Mayu could come and look. Mayu has now faced Nanai. She can face Utami at some point. She could face Mirai. There, I don't think, are that many more people on this roster that Mayu can go out and have a match that I think, yes, this is going to be great, like I would with Nanai or Utami. You know, if she has a singles match with Utami, I'm like, that match is going to be really good.
Yeah.
If she has a singles match with Reo Seto, I'm not so confident.
Well, and the rumors are already flying eventually. Io Sky will be showing up to have a match with Mayu, which, yeah, that'll fucking rock.
And, you know, if this is a thing that gets them to increasingly bring in good other good wrestlers, then
yeah,
I'm also all for that.
Sure.
It does feel a little bit like they have come to the conclusion we have come to, which is that the roster stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're like, okay, Mayu is here. That will help, but they're losing Nanai.
Like, I mean, on Mayu's fucking announcement press conference, she was talking about how much the wrestlers botch shit.
Yeah. So, you know, I think Mayu is better than Nanai, certainly at this present moment. But it's like, you know, hopefully that helps. And they've been having the Marvelous wrestlers, which I think has been hugely helpful.
Yes.
To make some of these shows better. You hope at some point one of these rookies who are wandering the earth gets a little better. But, you know, we'll see. But at least Mayu brings something where it's like, look, I'm a big deal and I'm got to be in big deal matches.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's challenging for the Superfly title coming up, which we'll talk about. But I'm hopeful that means that they'll be more open to bringing in good wrestlers into this promotion.
Yeah.
Also on that show, a match, I did not watch this match. Mai Sakurai successfully defending her United National title against Misa Matsui, lower down on the card. Also on the 10th, speaking of Nanai Takahashi, she lost the Twin Star tag titles with Sarah Yamaoka to the Magenta Duo from Marvelous of Maria and Riko Kawahata, who I believe now have both turned heel in Marvelous. I believe that's the Marvelous storyline. So they now have new heel looks.
Oh, okay.
To them. Which is on the graphic for the upcoming Marigold show. So I believe it's going to carry over to whatever's happening in Marigold.
It's funny to have the heels be like the invaders for the company that they're the heel in.
Yeah. Well, they love Marigold. They just hate all the people. Or they love Marvelous. They just hate all the people in it.
Ah, of course. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, Mayu and Nanai won definitely to go out of the way for a classic Mayu Iwatani match. And hopefully she'll have many more in Marigold with the man with the hat. I did comment, Kelly, you bring up the fact that she was talking about, you know, oh, the wrestlers botch. I've never seen a promotion where so many of the people in the promotion are like, you know, we stink, but, you know, like Rossi coming out and being like, people aren't trying hard enough. And now this being like, yeah, there's a lot of botches going on. It's like, okay. And you want me to watch the shows? Yeah.
Who do they think they are? Are you talking about the people that just got released?
Yeah. What else happened? Seedling had a show on May 1st at Corican Hall, the main event of that, Ayame Sasamura and Itsuki Aoki defeating Misa Kagura and Yuri to retain the tag team titles. Tokyo Joshi had two shows, one on the 3rd, one on the 5th. Each had two title matches. On the 3rd, Viva Van defeated Yuki Kamifuku to win the VPW women's title in a match that was fairly average. And Suzume retained the International Princess title match against Himawari. A solid match. I think anyone who's ever watched Tokyo Joshi, sort of the smaller house shows, sort of knows the type of match they'll get here. Neither of these anywhere close to blow away. Very solid and, you know, combined 22 minutes and feature the very helpful Wrestle Universe chapter feature, which is always big. So love very that. Easy to skip around the show. Then on 5-5, May 5th, Raku successfully defending the setup All-Asia women's title against Noor Diana. And Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima successfully defending their tag titles against Alexis Lee and Macha. So some Golden Week title matches there. Nothing big. I guess the Princess Tag Team title, probably the biggest of that stretch. But that is what happened. And Kelly, you have some America Tokyo Joshi reporting to do.
I do. So in GCW, we had some Maki Ito and Miyu Yamashita matches. On the 3rd, we actually had them against each other. Miyu Yamashita defeating Maki Ito in a very shtick-heavy and actively bad match in the first half. It got better as it went. Miyu still makes too many goofy faces. And it just was like, hey, this is not indicative of what these two can do. But I don't know. It got okay in the second half, I guess. Shockingly, Miyu won, which I feel like she never wins when I see her wrestle in America. Especially, like, this is an odd match to book, seeing as on the next night, which I'll get to in a second, both of them had title matches. So you're going to have one person going into a title match with a loss, which not great, but, you know, it's GCW. What do they know about booking stuff? So on the 4th, you had the JCW title match, Masha Slamovich defending successfully against Miyu Yamashita. This was as close to like a regular Miyu match as I've seen in the States. Like, just she played everything straight, no real goofy faces. She still works a lot lighter than she does in Japan here. It's interesting watching that. It's like you can tell she's holding back on her kicks and stuff. I don't entirely get it, but whatever. The match was pretty good. I thought it was definitely better than a match 3rd from the bottom deserves. But yeah, it was decent. I went 3.5 on it. And then later in the show, I think it was the semi-main GCW title match, Effie defeating Maki Ito to successfully retain. I didn't pay attention to this one. I just had it on in the background. I was not going to fully watch whatever this nonsense was going to be. What we had wasn't bad, I guess. I don't know. It wasn't good. Maki Ito sliced open Effie with the pizza cutter, which I find odd that they're still having her do the Nick Gage stuff when he's not in the promotion anymore. Just real weird all around. So yeah, that's what the Tokyo Joshi girls have been up to in GCW. You don't have to watch that because I did.
All right. Well, probably the biggest, we go from the smallest show to probably the biggest show of the last 2 weeks, the Mako Satomura retirement show from Corican Hall on April 29th. Kelly, what'd you think of this show?
I thought the show was really good. It was pretty much what you want out of like a retirement show like this. It was fun matches on the undercard and a killer main event.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a lot of fun. I very much enjoyed the main event, but still think nothing, you know, it's not a show you go out of your way to be like, oh, this is going to be the great work rate show of all time.
Yeah.
But super fun. I will say Sakura Hirota match. I watched this show with my girlfriend who laughed at Sakura Hirota. So instead of my usual burying of her, I will say that there is someone, if you haven't seen her 1 million times, gets a lot of enjoyment out of it.
All right.
So yeah, but I thought it was good. I thought definitely the highlight in ring wise was the main event.
Yes.
I thought all the stuff after was really well done. You can mm-hmm. certainly tell based on the bouquets in the lobby and who showed up afterwards that this clearly was a big deal. It's, you know, I think we talked about this, Kelly, but it is sort of funny that it's like, oh my God, she's retiring. And I'm like, oh, this is so sad. But I'm like, I also before last year hadn't seen her wrestle in like 6 years.
Yeah.
It is one of those strange things where it's like, ah, you're retiring, and oh, here's all the WWE people you work. Like,
yeah.
I was like, why is Shinsuke Nakamura sending a video? And then I was like, well, I guess they technically were coworkers.
Well, it's like we knew she was out there in the world doing something.
Yeah, it was like, oh, she's doing something, but I wasn't watching her.
No.
So I was surprised that I was like, oh, this is so sad, even though, because I kept thinking, well, I haven't seen her wrestle a lot anyway. But yeah, good show. Clearly meant a lot to everyone. Mako not going out on her back.
Nope.
I think I had heard, I didn't watch this show live, and I heard that Mako won, and I had great fear that she was going to pin Hashimoto.
Yes.
I was like, oh God, is she going to, oh no, like get her win back from losing the title? And I'm like, oh God, that will be horrible. It will be horrible. And then she pinned Aja Kong. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Nice of Aja to take the loss, which she very rarely takes.
Mm-hmm. And their closing stretch was so good.
Well, and she really got beaned with the Scorpio Rising.
Yeah.
Like some people don't take it at all, and she took it like clunk on the dome. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, that was wild.
So I thought a good showing from all four. I was expecting a good match, and it was a good match. I don't know. I'd go 4 stars. I wasn't really thinking about it.
I was 4.5. I really liked it.
Like, maybe I was, but I think I was thinking more, like, in the moment of, like, oh, the retirement match, and not, like, how good is this, and you know what I mean. So it was a very good match. I would recommend it. But really, I'd recommend to watch the whole show, because I think it's a very nice tribute and send-off to someone very, you know, extremely important to the scene. What was the attendance? Did they announce an attendance number?
I don't recall seeing. But I will say originally the semi-main, the trios match with Chisako, Iwata, and Sari beating Lena Cross, Nina Samuels, and Vaney was awesome too. I went 4.25 on that one.
I was watching that and going, how did I ever think Lena Cross was like 5'10"? She looked humongous in this match.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like maybe now that I know she's over 6 feet tall, I was like, of course. You know, I was like, oh, she's just big because everyone else is small. No, she's very tall. Okay, 1660.
It's a good number.
Was the good number.
That's a sellout, you know, right?
If it's not a sellout, it's very close to
it.
Because I think it's somewhere in the 1600s is full capacity.
Yeah, I think that's... It's a sellout for the most. Like, it's either a couple seats off or not.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's being worked, but it looked pretty full.
It looked very full.
It looked pretty full. I will say this. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the show, but of course, Mako Satomura is still on the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame ballot. And I think she has been for the last, 3 years? I have voted for her every year. I think she deserves to go in. I think the ding against her has always been the draw numbers. And I'm like, maybe this helps, because the reason people are coming to the show is for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she drew 1660 to Corican Hall. You know, it's a one-off thing. But if you're listening to this and you're a Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame voter, I encourage you to look into this. Look, she's obviously got the matches.
Yep.
She has dozens and dozens of great matches. I think she's got influence, you know, doing the Sendai Girl stuff.
And she's got a lot of great trainees too.
Yes. And I think the drawing is, you know, underestimated. I think there's a lot of arguments of like, well, she wasn't drawing houses, but also her I don't know if I'd call it her prime, but we'll say her prime is during a period where no one on earth was drawing anything.
Yeah.
Like Stardom was the big thing, and they were getting what, 650 to, you know, Corican Hall or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give us Hall of Fame ballots. I got real mad about the Hall of Fame earlier today when I found out that Sabu is not in it.
Well, I have one, so maybe I should speak up for you.
Yeah. Get me one.
Because I have voted for Satomura since she's been on the ballot. I think she's hovered around 15, 20%, maybe a little bit lower. I think it's going to be a hard sell because I think anyone from Joshi is a hard sell.
Oh, I thought the hard sell was getting me the ballot.
Well, that also may be a hard sell. Maybe I could just convince Dave to just add the Hoshi Tango Coolest Boobs Award into the Wrestling Observer Awards.
And then I get into the ballot pool on influence.
Yes, correct. I just thought of that as she was speaking at the end and, you know, seeing Corican Hall full. I think people should think about it when Hall of Fame season comes up. Think about putting Mako Satomura in there because I definitely think she deserves to be in.
Mm-hmm.
What else was happening in Joshi? Marvelous had a one-day tag tournament that was won by Sari and Takumi Iroha on May 5th. In Wave, like
when you announce like if they're the team, yeah, of course that's who's gonna win.
Yeah, I mean that's the obvious team, but you never know, they could, you know, get rolled up or get eliminated with a time limit draw or some, you know.
Yeah, if I'm any other team, I'm just like, all right, cool, I forfeit.
we're not winning this. The team of the two best wrestlers.
We're not winning. Just call it a day.
In Wave, Catch the Wave tournament began on the 4th and the 5th. I know those shows are up. You can watch them on Confetti. I believe there's something like $30 each.
Jesus.
So I have not watched them yet. I literally was hovering over the buy button on the Confetti page, and I thought, I can't justify $30.
No.
But if you want Catch the Wave action, good news. They're uploading Catch the Wave on YouTube from 2024.
They do this every year, and every year it gets me of being like, oh, cool. And then I look at the date. God damn it.
Yeah. Catch the Wave is going up, from last year. So, yes. And then I will throw it over to Kelly for some talk about some other shows and Choco Pro.
Yeah. So Choco Pro 447 happened on the 5th. Main event was a Super Asia title match where Mei Suruga successfully defended against Emi Sakura. This was the debut of a new belt for the Super Asia title, which I like. I think I actually prefer the old one, but I get why they're changing it because the old one is fucking enormous. So it's a more reasonably sized belt now. The match itself was very good. I like how these two, you know, they obviously know each other extremely well. So the match was just full of counters back and forth the whole time. And it eventually the match ended with just a pinning combination rather than, you know, hitting a big move and stuff just because no one was able to in this match. Sakura still as good as ever. And Mei is doing a great job as the face of the company. I went 4.25 on that one. And then we also have the Takataichi Mania 4 show from the 7th. There were two Joshi matches of note on that one. The first, which was the JTO girls title match with Azusa Inaba defeating her sister Tomoka Inaba. This was fucking awesome. Just a hell of a match between the two sisters. I liked how they worked it into the match because these two like definitely took way more punishment and offense than they would typically, just because it's like, you're not going to lose to your sister, you know? Just a great match between a 22-year-old and a 17-year-old, which is just nuts. I can't wait to see what they're going to do in a few years from now. I also went 4.25 on that one. And then there was also a match with El Desperado defeating Aoi. I didn't realize going into the match that Despy was an ex, so the crowd reaction was pretty cool. And I guess that he is Aoi's favorite wrestler, so that was very cool to see them have a really good match. Aoi put up a hell of a fight, especially against the current IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, which is pretty wild. Fun match. I went 3.75 on that one.
All right, so that is everything that has happened in the last 2 weeks of Joshi. What is coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi? Well, the first thing I found while compiling everything coming up is on May 15th, Saki Kashima is having an event called Super Hot, a gathering of creepy otakus. That's
why are we not there?
That's legitimately all the information I have on what's going on.
That's incredible. That seems like Great Okan should show up to that.
He could.
Yeah.
He very well could. I don't know who's appearing. I don't know if anything's been announced. I tried to look for more information. But I have to say, looking up those combinations of words online gets you a lot of different results.
I bet it does.
But Stardom proper has a show at Corican Hall on May 21st. Don't think the card has been announced for that show quite yet, so we will have to wait and see. It is a big next 2 weeks for Marigold. They have two shows on May 17th, the day show. The main event will be Tag Partners Explode as Nanai Takahashi will face off against Sarah Yamaoka. And the evening main event will be Mai Sakurai defending her United National title once again against Chika Goto. So a title match there in the evening. And then on the 24th, Marigold has their first anniversary show as well as Nanai Takahashi's retirement show happening at Yoyogi. The card is as follows. Shino will
no,
face
I'm not,
off.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it for her. She hasn't earned it.
Yeah. Is facing off against Mai Sakurai. This will be Shino's debut match. Chen Yoda, Arina Yamanaka, Ryoko Sakamura, and Nagisa Tachibana will face off against Nagisa Nosaki, Chiaki, Misa Matsui, and Megaton.
Hell yeah.
Darkness Revolution. Koke Amore and Kazuna Tanaka will face off against Chika Goto and Manami Yuki. There will be another Marvelous versus Marigold big match. Natsumi Shozuki, Nao Ishikawa, Hummingbird, Rei Seto, and Komomo Minami will face off against Riko Kawahata, Maria, Ai Hozan, Senka Atsukasuki, and Sora Ayami. So similar to the first five-on-five match, some repeat people in there, but some new people. Aroha not in that match because she will be in part two of Marvelous versus Marigold. It will be her against Sari Yamaoka in a singles match. And then we get to the two title matches of the evening. Victoria Yuzuki will defend her Superfly title against Mayu Iwatani. Kelly, do we think Mayu walks away with the title?
Time limit draw.
Okay. A bold prediction.
Because I don't think they want to saddle Mayu with that belt. And you don't want her to, you can't have her lose to Yuzuki.
Well, maybe she just wins all the titles in the promotion.
Maybe.
And then it will be Utami versus Mirai for the Marigold World title. Kelly, do you think Mirai becomes the new Marigold World champion?
No. Sure don't.
Great. And then the main event is Nanai Takahashi's last match. It will be Nanai Takahashi against Miku Aono. A big spot for Miku. I would say probably one of the few people I think can be relied on at this point to have a good match. So I think this match should be good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hope Miku gets to win.
I hope so, too. I mean, I hope that for everyone's last match that they lose. Obviously, we saw the opposite just a few days ago. But we'll see. Hopefully,
yeah, I mean, Miku,
either way, hopefully it's good.
It worked for Mako with the Aja Kong stuff. Like, that one I was fine with.
Yeah, I think pinning Aja Kong was fine. I just think when you're retiring, you should lose your last match.
Yeah.
Like, have Chihiro pin you and be like, I did it again, and now I'm super strong. You know, whatever. What else is happening? Catch the Wave, obviously, is going to continue. The other big show of the next 2 weeks is the next upcoming Hanakamura Memorial Show entitled Fireworks. The card for that show will see Yuna face off against Tai Hanma. Sego Tachibana face off against Aja Kong. There will be a battle royal in that match. Chihiro Hashimoto will team with Shotaro Ashino to take on Konami and Minoru Suzuki. That should be interesting. Miyuki Takase and Mika Iwata will be in a three-way tag match facing off against Sari and Natsupoi, and Dash Chizako and Hiroyo Matsumoto, and Rina will take on Veni in the main event. And that is the next upcoming. It's hard to believe, Kelly, every year now when this show comes up that
I know
it's another year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So yeah, but that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi action. But Kelly, now that we've reached the end, it's time for Kelly's Corner.
Let's see. The third episode of the rehearsal season 2 was a complete masterpiece of television. One of the single best episodes of TV I've ever seen. So you gotta watch it.
Yes. I would agree with you. On a rare time that Kelly recommending something I have watched already, so I can also recommend it. Kelly, have we ever, or have you ever investigated the world of On Cinema?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay, I may have to get you into that because it's the writers. There's many people on the rehearsal who work on Cinema.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Including one of the head writers as the director. And I think it would be, I think it would be something you would enjoy okay. As a world that's full of lore and not the WWE kind of lore.
So they're like Chef Michaels cooking in the kitchen.
Yes. And then firing everyone.
Yes.
When they, you know,
respectfully firing them.
Yeah. Nice. The nice type of firing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
except for when you hire people like Alberto Del Rio.
No comment on that. But that is all for us for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. We will be back to you in 2 weeks' time with more. But until then, see you later.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.